Hello, I'm Josh Widdicombe.
And I'm Rob Beckett.
Welcome to Lockdown Parenting Hell, the show in which Rob and I discuss what it's like to be a parent during lockdown, which I would say can be a little tricky. So, in an effort to make some kind of sense of the current situation...
and to make me feel better about my increasingly terrible parenting skills...
each episode we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how well they're coping.
Or hopefully not.
And we will be hearing from you, the listener, with your tales of lockdown parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, none of us know what we're doing. Hello, and you are listening to Lockdown Parenting Hell with...
Rob Beckett. Rob Beckett.
And Josh Widdicombe.
Josh Widdicombe.
Oh, love that.
There we go.
Much better than that snide Max that was on earlier in the week.
That is my new son. He's doing very well, Rob.
He's very advanced for his age, actually.
He's very advanced. Hello, loving the podcast. It's been getting me through many a 4:30 p.m. Lazy Parents Club. That is FaceTime with grandparents and roll toys in the general direction of my child while I try and finish a warm cup of tea. So thought I'd send in my Sprog's attempt at your names. This is Evie, great name, age three, from Cardiff. That is Sarah Ratton.
Evie Ratton.
It is a nice name, isn't it? It is a nice
name. How's it
name.
Going, Josh, in the house of a newborn?
It's fine. Quite a full house at the moment, Rob.
Really? Pat Sharp and the twins?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a fun house, isn't it?
Yeah, but I enjoyed it. Yeah. It's my wheelhouse.
It's your world, isn't it, that?
Yeah.
There's nothing more I like than doing a very sort of quite a shit joke to someone, but it's very much their wheelhouse and they love it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's when we do the Arsenal jokes on here, I always know this is going to be Rob's scene. I'm more than happy to bring up an analogy to,
Arteta.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, don't God. Actually. It's quite depressing.
Yeah. We've got a full house. We've got the community midwife is here at the moment.
Oh, is she?
Checking that we aren't
terrible parents.
Terrible parents. Also a builder who's putting up shelves in my daughter's room.
Ooh.
Because obviously I've got a new son. So he is.
And he's sleeping on the shelf.
And he's sleeping on the shelf. He can't sleep on the floor forever.
Space is at a premium in zone two. Were you zone three? What are you? What zone you?
Two. Yeah.
Expensive on the street, cheap on the tube.
Well, do you know what, mate? I'll be honest with you. We live so far from a tube, we might as well be in zone three, mate. But
okay, let's not get bogged down by that. You love it. Let's not worry about the future or the past. We're in the moment.
I'll be honest with you, Rob. It's 7 minutes on a bus to the tube and then into town. And the last time I did that, my life was very different. I miss it. Just miss people.
You miss people. Your house is full. You got the builder. What's your builder's name?
Adrian. Very nice man.
Adrian.
He's Osh Romanian. His son is seven.
Yeah.
He's playing for Crystal Palace under sevens.
Ooh.
Who knew that they could play? And I said, what's it like? He said, the standard is unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. And he was like, I was like, oh, and so he was like, my son did play up front, but he lacks pace. Lacks pace. He's seven.
All seven-year-olds, they're all as fast as Usain Bolt at seven.
Yeah.
No, but you do notice it. Like, my youngest is so fast. And then
really?
My eldest isn't slow, but she's quite normal pace. But youngest is like, she's like a bit like, you know, the little blonde kid in Incredibles? It's like mental. And that, it's so weird at how different like the kids can be, where my eldest, right, if I take her to school on the scooter, sometimes if she's tired or can't be bothered, she goes, hold my hand, and she stands on the scooter and I drag her along.
Yeah.
Like I'm an ox or a horse cart,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the other one, she's three, comes out and she's about 50 metres ahead of me in the street. And I'm like, slow down, stop. And she says, hold my hand. And then what she does is she holds my hand, but also holds the scooter and pushes off and drags me along at pace because I'm going too slow. It's so weird that two kids can be so different like that.
Well, people say this so much. So obviously it's difficult for me to tell 4 days in, Rob.
Yes.
But I'm fascinated because you just presume when you have your first kid, oh, well, that's what a kid that I create will be like. Do
yes.
you know what I mean? That is those bits of my personality.
But you realise when you've got two, some are more of you and then some are ruined by your partner's genes. And some, you know, that is when you are breeding, is something you need to take into consideration.
Yeah, it is. It is, Rob.
Like, obviously, you know, with me and Lou, hopefully they get Lou's brains, but let's face facts, fingers crossed, athletically wise, they get some of me. And that's not a great statement, but no, what?
You are. I hate to do this.
Go on.
I think you're one of the sharpest people I know. You might not be what they would term, you know,
academic?
Book smart. But I would say, do you know what, Rob?
Yeah.
I'm tired, but I'll say this.
Come on, baby.
I was once drunk and I said to my friend, Will Briggs, who you know.
Yes, I know Will.
I said, I think there's only two geniuses in my comedy generation. And you were one of them, Rob.
And the other was Joe Lycett. You really missed an opportunity there to say,
I know,
Ramesh Ranganathan.
I'm tired,
and Paul
Rob.
Chowdhury.
I'm tired.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Josh.
You're very intelligent, Rob. You're very intelligent.
Yes, I don't think, but I always struggle with academia for a number of reasons, and studying and reading. I think I was dyslexic, or am. I've not had a proper test. So hopefully, though, they won't get the dyslexia part of me. Now it's gone weirdly deep. You've called me a genius, and I'm talking about dyslexia. But...
No, but I know what you mean. It is weird with what you think your children will inherit off you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and seeing what part. And it's weird because you sort of think they'll either be me or your partner, but actually they're an odd mix where they can be both at the same time, where like I'm quite loud, so my kids can also be very loud, but also they can be very quiet and just sit like Lou would and study or play with something. But I could never imagine you could be both.
No, exactly. It is weird, isn't it? And then you go, what am I of my parents? I'm on the loud thing, Rob. My new baby's very loud.
Oh my God, you've got a working class Londoner kid.
He was born in London.
The sound of Bow Bells.
The sound of Bow Bells. His cry is so loud that like the midwives at the hospital were like openly laughing about how loud he was.
If a midwife notices anything, you know it's mental.
Yeah.
if what you want when your child is born is to a midwife to not even batter an eyelid at anything that it does. Yeah.
But instead, they're like, whoa, listen to him.
That happened to us when they went, oh, God, Dev, she's very alert. And I was like, oh, God, alert's not good, is it?
No, what you want is them to go, bloody hell, he's laid back.
You want a kid that's basically high on weed all the time. Yeah, that's
exactly.
So they said he was really loud.
He's got some fucking pipes on him, mate. He's like Adele, but without
like
the
Adele.
Tune.
What is that, Adele? You won't hear from him for 3 years, but then you won't fucking shut up for a year. And then they're off again.
So he is like Adele. We'll call him Adele.
Okay, right, let's get back on track. Oh, right. I need to talk about, I've done bad parenting this week.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so a couple of things. My kids are obsessed with Mamma Mia. I think I've spoken about this. They basically watch it 3 times a week.
Oh, wow.
Like nonstop. And it's only recently, and I've been doing this for about a year, that I've realised at one point in the film, Meryl Streep calls someone a slut. So they have heard the word slut. On my calculations, 3 times a week for a year, which is about like 150 times.
Yeah. See, I told you you're smart.
156 times, wouldn't it?
Right, yeah. But, you know. They take two weeks off for Christmas. They don't watch it on a Sunday sometimes.
Yeah. Just out of, you know, God's day. So they've heard the word slut, but I've never heard them say it. But it's weird. It just sort of gets passed by. But slut is bad.
Do you think they don't realise it's rude? So what you need to do is not flag it.
Yeah, so I've just ignored the slut.
Yeah.
And because they just sing the songs, really. It's all the songs. But they were singing Super Troop at the top of their voice in the car the other day, like properly loud. And then we said, can you not sing so loud? And then the five-year-old went, my music teacher says I have to sing as loud as I can so everyone can hear. And I just don't know if that's good teaching. I think at some point you've got to teach children about PA systems. Because Adele isn't... She's not the loudest. She's just the best at singing.
Yeah, she's the best at singing,
isn't she? It's not like, have you heard Adele? Oh my God, it was so loud, I could barely hear anything.
Yeah, I just, do you know what? I love going to see a band and just seeing how loud they can be. It's not the Olympics.
She started off in Slipknot. That's why she wore the mask, because she wanted her own career after. Oh, the other thing is as well, Josh. I think I nearly blew up the garden. because I've got a gas barbecue, right? And it was running out of, I was running out of gas. It was said low on the side of it. So I did a thing my dad always used to do that I thought was fine. I turned the gas upside down. Right. To get more gas out of it so that, you know, normally it sits on its base and then the tube's at the top. So I turned it upside down. So I thought, oh, that way. If there's...
You're allowed to do that?
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't think so because I did do that and it was working. The flames went up higher, but then when I went outside, the tube from the top of the gas canister to the barbecue had frosted. It had all frost and cold on it like it's been in a freezer. And I panicked and turned everything off, but I don't know what that means.
Oh, my word.
Does that What does that mean? Should I, do I have to just...
It means stop, Rob.
I stopped it, but now I don't know if I'm allowed to turn my barbecue back on. So if anyone's listening and understands what's happening, do let me know.
Do let Rob know.
It looked like Elsa had touched it. The whole tube was frozen. And I was like, fuck. What have I done? And then I was so scared. So I flipped it back over, turned it off at the gas tank thing, and then turned the barbecue off, and then nothing exploded. But I was really... And it was so cold, mate.
Rob.
I don't know why. Why
have you just invented something new?
I don't get why something so cold could power something so hot.
Yeah, I don't understand how that's happened.
It feels like an Elon Musk experiment. I think it's how you mine Bitcoin.
I didn't know they mined. What the fuck is going on? I don't understand it.
And I'm sick.
I don't understand.
Teenage boys telling me they're multimillionaires on TikTok and telling me to invest and follow their portfolio.
Can I say something about having a baby, Rob?
Yeah, go on, mate. You're here. This is. If you're not going to do it here, where are you going to do it?
I have no ability as a winder.
A wind? Oh, a wind. You can't wind.
I can't wind for love nor money, and I don't believe anyone can. I just believe it's... I just don't know how to do it, Rob. And I had this last time, and now it's back again. And I don't know what I'm doing, and I've got... I don't believe... Can you do it?
I think with winding is you need to... It's like each baby's different, so you need to find your technique. I think maybe let's put a call out for some winding techniques.
Some winding techniques. And I tell you which one doesn't work. Lie them on their back, pedal their legs, and then lift up their ass, which I found myself doing the other day, someone had told me. Doesn't work.
Has no stroking worked, or have you not needed to yet? The baby's too young.
I haven't needed to yet.
Okay, well, keep us posted on the no stroke.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got some Instagram messages, if you want to do them before we go into our guests this week. Here we go. Hi, Rob and Josh and sexy voice mystery man, Michael.
Ooh.
Love the show and can't wait for Tuesdays and Fridays. I have a parenting hack recommendation I discovered after struggling to get my two kids to eat anything that remotely healthy or different. For an entire year, my youngest refused to eat anything other than lemon curd sandwiches. Oh, my God. Is he an evacuee? What is that? Good night, Mr. Tom sandwich.
On lemon curd sandwiches.
Oh God, I don't know. I think it's some sort of countryside thing, isn't it? Where are they from? She doesn't say. Anyway, and my eldest used to treat anything that resembles vegetables as like kryptonite, but not any longer. Here is my life-changing tip. I now take a packet of stickers with me to the supermarket. Whenever I see something healthy or varied I want to purchase, I quickly distract them and stick a sticker of their favourite cartoon or show onto the product.
Oh, that is clever.
I then trick them into thinking they discovered the item for themselves. And I put up a bit of resistance when they suggest it.
Oh,
yes. They seem like a treat and they get their own way. Tonight we are having Moana broccoli and Paw Patrol pie. And for breakfast,
yes, please.
We had Octonauts porridge. It's an absolute game changer. This is a great tip, Kat. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that is really good. That's really strong.
And then I've got another one here. Just a quick message to say, I love the podcast. You have changed my life. Been listening since day one, and you've helped me through the bad and the awful times of lockdown, but even more so now. As last week, you really changed my life. We have a little boy called Ewan, age 4, and his behaviour had gotten worse and worse over lockdown. He thought he ruled the roost. We had a very embarrassing moment when we took him to see a new school. All the other children were well-behaved. Ours was running around, crawling under the tables, and we literally couldn't stop him. Even the head teacher said, oh, that's one to watch. And my heart sank, as this was my old primary school, and the thought of bringing up a brat destroyed me. Well, I thought of you guys and finally purchased some pom-poms and a jar. It's a game changer.
Oh, there we go.
He's loving it. We don't have a toddler who runs around and hides whilst we try and get him dressed or take him food shopping. He says, please and thank you. He tries hard at nursery and he's a pleasure to be with. The pom-pom jar has given me new hope that he can be a lovely, kind and calm child. He stays in his own bed at night. He no longer cries when going out food shopping or nursery or anywhere. Let's just hope this lasts. Any tips if the kid gets bored? What I would say is, Josh, you have to use it in fits and bursts. You know, kids get pom-pom jar fatigue. It's like lockdowns. Totally. You don't want to have to use a lockdown, but you know it's effective. But keep him. Yeah, I just think keep it a bit separate. So stop it for a bit if he's not, you know, listening to it, and then start it up again. Especially if there's something he wants in particular, and then you can use it as a goal, can't you?
Yes.
We're not on pom-pom jars at the moment. I find pom-pom jars are more needed when there's no structure in the day. So like in the summer holidays or lockdown or half term. Half term's not too bad, it's a week. But yeah, when they're in schools, or nursery, they come home quite tired after being engaged. So they're quite happy to chill. Yeah. And I think, that's probably what it is, isn't it? If he's four and he's only one of him and he's at home in lockdown, you're going to go mental, aren't you?
It's mad, isn't it, when you realise the things that, when there's a lack of structure to the day, it's so much more difficult. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
For everyone concerned.
And for the kids, kids like rules.
And they like to do stuff.
So, the secret stiffness.
The secret stiffness, Rob.
They give it a loose one, don't they? But, you know, if they're not getting their nap on time, they're fuming.
Exactly. Oh, wow. We're back into the napping these days in my life.
Oh, you got Napmaster General.
Yeah. They like stuff like snacks. My daughter, if we go out, will never think about a snack because she's engaged in whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
But if we're at home, she'll always be thinking about snacks because it's just something to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Because they get bored and stuff like that. But yeah, pom-pom jar it up in the summer holidays, I think.
Oh, the summer holidays. Oh, my God.
So is your daughter off for the whole summer holidays?
No, but this will be the last one ever because this is... she's still at nursery next year. She's just the oldest in her year, more or less. She's October. So she's got one more year at nursery, so no summer holidays this year.
Oh, yeah, because she's the same year as my daughter, isn't she? So she starts not this September, next September.
Next September.
Yes, so we start at the same time. Exciting, Josh. Right, guest this week is Mr. Ian Sterling, comedian, voiceover guy, Twitch megastar, and married to Laura Whitmore, got a new baby, a couple of months old, and good chat this, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Ian is such a nice man, and let's be honest, Rob.
Yeah.
He didn't sound as fatigued as we thought he was going to, but then he always sounds fatigued, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does. He's sort of a bit, you know, he does sound like he's just got in from a night out, so that... You know, is how people sound when they have children.
Yeah, exactly. It makes no difference to his Scottish drawl.
Enjoy it, Ian Sterling, guys. Ian Sterling, thank you for coming on the podcast. New father, we hear that you listened to the Tom Parry one before coming on.
I did. I immediately texted him afterwards, like the second it finished. I said, I know you'll be asleep when you get this because it's 2 p.m.
Yeah, so how old your baby? A month?
Basically, we're right on the month mark, yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. That's I know. So soon.
And I was talking to, when you were talking to Tom and Rob and Josh was sort of saying, oh, we don't really remember that period. I really just wanted something to sort of, as a memento, and I'm terrible at writing and keeping a journal, and I'm not good at taking photos or anything, but I suppose I'm all right at like chatting. So I thought this would be a nice way to like, do you know what I mean? Just... keep it forever.
Okay, well, I'm going to say it now. Happy 18th birthday to Ian's baby.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. You've already been drinking for 11 years.
Have you found that the last month? You sound pretty fresh, to be honest.
I feel like, I don't know if you had this, the first couple of weeks, me and Laura were like, because we sort of teed ourselves up for this is going to be absolutely mad, and... obviously, it's absolutely mad.
Also, for anyone that doesn't know, we should explain that your partner's Laura Whitmore, the TV presenter, Love Island, and Celeb Juice and stuff.
So, yeah, it's us two, those people that you've just described, one of them, and I'm the other one. And the first 2 weeks was like, do you know what? This isn't as bad as we thought. And, like, when you hear someone else's child cry, it's horrific, and the thought of it. And then when it's your own, it's sort of all right. And sometimes when she gets, like... really sad or whatever, like cries a lot. There's something quite sort of I don't know if you just go mad, but it's like quite.
Is this your daughter or Laura?
Both. You just sort of find it quite endearing, and then you just think they're so great, you don't mind. So but then I feel like I'm now getting to the stage where I'm like, oh, we're trying to go back to work slowly, little bits and whatnot. And I'm starting to realise, oh, yeah, this is it. This is forever now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. That feeling of going, I've signed up to something here.
Yeah.
I remember getting back from work one day at about 6 p.m. sitting on the sofa and thinking, that's not my day.
That's it.
Like, yeah. That's not done. I'm just beginning.
This podcast, this bit of my day right now is the break.
So what's your schedule at the moment? How are you splitting the shifts with Laura?
It's working out quite well at the minute. So at the minute, we're doing the old breastfeeding.
Yeah. So we's a bold
the royal
statement.
Wee there.
The good old royal wee. every father's favourite wee, the royal wee.
Do you still like wake up and sort of sit near the breastfeeding encounter to look like you're helping when in reality you're doing nothing? Because I sort of did that for a bit at the start and then eventually you just go to sleep because you're not helping.
The mornings are now very much, I wake up at 10, I go, have you fed her yet? Yep, twice. All right, okay. I apologise. No, so it's a quite good schedule. So Laura pumps in the morning at night, which gives me enough milk to do the sort of nighttime feed. So yep. We'll feed through to about midnight, sleep yep. time. Then baby wakes up sort of half three.
Oh.
I do that feed.
Yep.
So Laura can stay in bed. And then baby wakes up about 7:30. Laura does that feed. I stay in bed. So we're still getting sort of...
That's a nice system.
Yeah. It's like... yeah.
Do you know what's mental is? That is actually pretty good, but it still sounds horrific said out loud, doesn't it?
Yeah. If you're listening without children, you're going, what is wrong with these things?
Do you know
that sounds like a nice
system. Do you know
system.
How mad I've gone all day coming up to this podcast, right? I was genuinely thinking... Josh and Rob are going to be so impressed by how amazing mine and Laura's sleep patterns are. And then because it's lockdown and we've got a newborn baby, I've told you, and then you've gone, yeah, but that's still really bad. And I've just realised, oh, yeah, that is still horrific. What's that?
Yeah, even at the best, you've nailed it, but it's still a horrific thing to go through.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing at the minute. So I still, you know, we optimistically try to watch an episode of Line of Duty last night after last night's sort of midnight feed.
Okay.
And it's not until you're so tired you realise how many characters are in Line of Duty. Anagrams in people's names, you're like, I have honestly no fucking clue who shot who. Who is who? Who's related to who?
And you're both too polite to say, I'm exhausted, let's go to bed, because you're trying to create like a couple's moment. But in reality, you're just trying to stay awake.
Well, this is just like watching it. No, man, it's great. This is exactly like how we used to watch it.
Yeah, midnight on 4 hours sleep. Let's watch a bit of Line of Duty. Why not? Right.
Honestly, just going back to the start. Like, if we watch the recap 3 times. That's all the important bits, and we just take that in. It'll be fine.
The TV we ended up watching at that point was just anything that didn't involve any sort of mental engagement at all. Do you know what I mean? So we. That Line of Duty would have been completely out of the question.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
It was The Apprentice. It was MasterChef. It was all that kind of stuff.
Can I give you a suggestion? Bargain Brits Abroad, Channel 5.
I watched Bargain Brits Abroad once, and it was a guy that had gone over there to be an artist because, like, quote-unquote, his art wasn't appreciated in the UK.
Yes, I remember
him.
Right. And then do you remember, it was him just walking about a sort of city centre, pointing at different restaurants going, they don't do chips. They don't do chips.
I quite like watching that show because it saves me having to do who do you think you are? I get to see all my relations. What's the sort of plan at the moment because of lockdown and stuff? And you both work loads, but you're both two of the busiest people in telly. So what's your sort of plan going forward? Just sort of working it out week by week with the babies? It's sort of a 50-50 split of the parenting. Is that the plan, or have you not worked it out yet?
I think the plan will be to sort of like 50-50 and just sort of streamline what it is we do and whatnot.
Are you heading to the Love Island, Ian?
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's my next big thing.
So you're going to take the baby to the Island of Love?
Well, this is the thing. I don't know...
From the Island of Love to the Island of Love. What a 10 months.
Trying to remember all the people's names in the voiceover booth. What is going on? Craig's coupled up with... What's her name again?
With the baby crying in the background. That you can make a thing of it, though, on the voiceover. So is the plan, because obviously I imagine Laura's be hosting it, so you're all going to go to the like wherever you're filming it together then? Is that
well, this
the plan?
Is the thing about COVID as well, though, isn't it? Like, we don't actually know where we'll be for it.
You might just do it remotely.
It's a lovely mixture of COVID and Brexit means that going abroad has become all the more... You've got a lot of forms to fill in and a load of jabs to get.
Who would have thought politics would have an impact on Love Island?
Who would have thought? It reminds me, the Brexit vote happened during series two of Love Island. And a guy called Terry...
Don't feel like you have to take responsibility for it, though, Ian. Don't blame yourself.
I didn't get my postal vote in time. I was absolutely gutted. Terry said, amazing man, he said it didn't... Because we offered them the postal votes. I don't know how many of them took it. Terry said, doesn't bother me that much because I spend 6 months of the year in Ibiza.
Amazing.
I had a mate who voted to leave, and they had a place in Spain. And I went, yeah, but you've got a place in Spain, mate, so it's much better for us to be in the EU so you can get back and forth. I went, and also, you know, the exchange rate's going to be affected. I've already changed all my money up. As if, like, he'll never need any more. That's him sorted.
I've got a load of pesetas under the bed. I'll be fine.
Oh, dear. So you've got no idea what's going on yet, then, I imagine.
Yeah, you might just be at home with the baby. Little microphone in the corner of the nursery.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely put me into some sort of booth because, I mean, you know, it feels too official to
record. It's TV. It's not this kind of shit, is it? It's proper.
I don't know. I've recorded some TV from my house.
You don't need to. I've always thought this, though, Ian. No offence, but you don't need to be in Spain, do you, to do
the
VO?
No. Every time I tell someone I'm going to Spain to do the voiceover, they're like, well, what? Those ones, why are they in a sentence together? It is mad, isn't it? It is absolutely mad.
Yeah.
Oh, they've not got any microphones in central London, sadly. So.
Yeah, so you can't record anything.
I stay in a hotel for 8 weeks. Why? Just so I can speak into a microphone.
In defence, though, Ian, because when I worked on I'm a Celebrity, which is a similar turnaround of, like, record it the day before and then the next day, you stuff does get dropped and changed at the last minute. So you're sort of like, you're like a fireman for VO. You're on call at any point. You can be rushed in.
That is exactly. And actually, I do have a pole installed that I do sort of fly down. But it is that thing of, in a way, it's sort of, the best thing about it, the first two series, it was definitely better being Spain because I'm not a huge reality TV fan. Mm. At least I wasn't. So when you're in Spain and we stay in a sort of a very, like, it's an old people part. It's basically German pensioners that are there and exclusively. That's it.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot to do. So you sort of find yourself engrossed in this TV show. Or just there's what else is there to do, really?
Yeah.
So it meant that I got well into it, which I suppose was quite good. And, like, do you know what I mean? It became my world, which is quite good when you're working on it. And then, yeah, like you said, things do change fairly quick. So they've got to, like, we all know what it's like turning on a Zoom call for something to tell you, oh, can you record that word again? And you're just there for 7 minutes. Going, click the microphone.
But, I mean, that's quite stressful, though, like, because I've got jobs coming up work-wise where I don't really know where I'm going to be or how to do it, but I'm not sort of transporting my wife and child there and one of you's doing one thing or the other. So you can't get too stressed, but you at this point, it could be like, you just don't know what's going to happen and how it's going to work. So you just have to sort of improvise with it, I suppose.
Exactly.
And just see how you get on.
Pre-COVID, this would have been, and rightfully so, driven us absolutely mad.
Yeah.
But now you have, haven't we all just got to that stage where, like, oh, do you know what? It'll all work out in the end.
What'll happen will happen.
Or if it doesn't, I've got a day off.
have you been on your own with the baby yet? Or Laura been on her own with the baby? Like, have you had sole charge of the baby yet, Ian?
I've had, well, again, because of the whole breastfeeding situ.
Yeah.
I once looked after the baby for 3 hours.
Okay.
It was a fabulous time. You put her in that bouncy chair thing. Have you got one of them?
A bouncy chair? Oh, yeah. I'm not the one on the door. I was like, she's a bit young for that. No,
come on.
The Bjorn Borg one. Is it Bjorn? Not Bjorn Borg.
It's not a Bjorn Borg. What is
baby
it?
Bjorn. Baby Bjorn.
Well, we've gone maxi cosy.
Oh, classic. Okay. You can't go wrong with a cosy maxi cosy, can you?
No. So no. I put her in that. That was, and then you could just sort of, and I've also worked out how to, if you put them in the pram.
Yeah.
And then you can put your feet on the back two wheels and sort of get a sort of left to right motion. I've got for an entire half of football with them in there.
Ah, a little rocking.
little bit of rocking. Love movement.
I used to love they do love movement. I used to love taking them for walks and listening to podcasts because the fresh air keeps them quiet and stuff.
It's so counterintuitive, isn't it? Like, you just think, don't move them, don't make any noise. Yeah. And they actually love a bit of noise and they love a bit of a...
Yeah.
Well, sometimes when our baby starts crying, we go from the pavement onto, like, we go off road onto, like, the grass. She's out like a light.
Off road.
We off road it.
Can I just check? You mean in the pram, not when you're driving?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. No, I'm not like Colin McRae rallying it about.
How do you feel about? I was very nervous changing them when they're that small, and obviously I did it, and I did the nappies and put them in different clothes. But like, Lou would love like getting them into. Oh, let's put them in that outfit. I was like, they're in an outfit. Let's not risk it again. That arm is so little. I found it so hard.
I'm quite good at nappies. I'm very good at socks. I'm all right at trousers. I fall apart. It's anything that has to go over their head and put their arms in. I'm like, I am going to pull. I'm going to dislocate their shoulder here.
Yeah, I just don't know how you're going to hold up like a turkey drumstick. Like, oh no, I've pulled
too hard. That. I don't know how people do it.
My main fear was the soft bit on top of the head.
Yeah, it's like an avocado. It's rank.
And support the neck. You are in peak support the neck territory.
And then that's all we do. We sort of ruin the fun of anyone else. Obviously, COVID is very rarely happens.
Yeah.
But anyone else that holds our baby just gets... Support the neck.
Yeah, but some people don't, do they? And and even parents of other kids, you know, they pick them up, their heads start rolling around like a bowling ball. And you're like, what are they doing?
I hate someone that's got... No, do you know what? Fuck it. I hate people that have got like 6-7-year-olds, so they think they're still no babies and they've completely forgotten everything. And they pick up your kid like it's an IKEA shopping bag. And they just think they know everything. I'm like, you're 6, at least if they're like... If your kid's like 10, 11, they're like, oh, I've not done this for a while. And they take some advice. The owner of a 5-year-old throws your kid about like a bowling ball.
Have you had many visitors, Ian?
We've had the old 6 people in the garden. That was nice. Yeah. And one of the couples expecting them, one of the couples has got a 2-year-old. So it was this nice sort of like rites of passage moment and all the... All the dads had a little beer in the garden, discussed where they were at, which is really nice. And I've noticed that every parent says to me, because we're like, oh, it's all right, apart from the sleep, it's actually not too bad. It's really like, she's just so such a brilliant baby. And like, you know, I mean, you just think they're so beautiful and I have such a lovely time. You're like, it's not as bad as I thought. And they're like, wait till they start moving.
Yeah, I know, but you've got everyone is so pessimistic and it is a bit harder when they're running about, but you can't live in fear like that. Just if they're good at the moment, just blank that out. Because you'll always find some miserable bastard and then they'll be like, oh, I think they're all right. Or you wait till they start school and then they start school and it's fine. Yeah. Or wait till they're a teenager. Why don't you fuck off? I can't wait for you to shut your mouth, mate. You're not helping. My kid's fine. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's mad.
Well, you know what it is? It's no one ever wants to hear that someone else is having a good time with their children.
Yeah, that's the problem.
No one wants that.
But I think we've been really lucky. They took to the like boob really well and took to like the bottle really well. And I think those are the two of the big ones, aren't they, when they're small. Mm. None of them sleep.
No, that's the thing. I think as well, it depends how stressful, like, what else is going on at the time. But if it's, you know, I think you get on a roll. If it's going quite well, it sort of carries on going well. But, like, out of your friendship group, are you one of the last ones to have kids or one of the first or about the middle? Because it does change. Like, I had groups of friends that I just stopped seeing when they didn't have kids. And then now they started having kids, you see them more. But have you found that with your friendship groups and stuff?
I find, and a lot of people I know agree... notice this. My friends from back home, I'm sort of the last one.
Yeah.
They're all babied up. 2, 3, you name it. Little house outside, slow cooker chat, all that, the whole shebang, right?
How old are you, Ian?
I'm 33 years old.
Which is like, you know, that's like 50 in Scotland, isn't it? 33.
I'm nearly done, mate. People say things like this, iPhone's been in our been through our family for 5 generations. And so Scotland, I'm quite far, not far behind, but I'm the back end of the curve. And then London, my mates, some of whom are older than me, look at me with my baby like I am an absolute maniac and they can't believe I've made this decision. And why am I not waiting until I'm 50 like everyone else?
But there'll be the 45-year-old on a skateboard in Finsbury Park with a 2-year-old going, come
That's
on,
the
mate.
One thing when you have a baby. When you have a baby, I'm like, with the sleep and all that, I'm like, I don't think I'd be able to, like, I mean, that again, now I'm being negative. You absolutely could. If you're an older dad here, of course you can. Maybe I just don't look after myself enough. But there is a thought of, like, doing night feeds when you're in your 40s or something, I'd be like, I don't know if I'd manage it.
Yeah, like get your back going as you get up. Like, oh, God, and all that.
Trying to take your son to, like, 5-a-sides when you're, like, in your 60s.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 35 and I make a noise putting socks on. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, but Rob, let's be honest, you make a noise doing anything, don't you? No, I know what you mean. It's weird, isn't it, that kind of age of... Because, like, I always think that footballers have the children that, of any type of people, footballers have kids. They're always like, yeah, I've got 3 kids and I'm 22.
It's always like that, isn't it? Like, Jamie Vardy's got about 100.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think it's just that they've got nothing to do?
I think they've got nothing to do.
They work 2 hours a day and they've got millions of pounds.
We once saw Ross Barkley at a sushi restaurant midweek and
I know you move in celebrity circles, Ian, but you don't have to hammer it into our face with these kind of anecdotes.
He was sat at a table across from us. He just looked so bored, man. Because, like,
Was he on his own?
It looked like he was with his agent. He was with his agent or a friend that, you know... They hadn't had a lot to say in a long time.
How do you know it was his agent? Did he keep giving him 15% of his sushi?
Yeah, it's the last bit of his miso soup.
Yeah.
It's that thing. I think I've heard you guys talk about this before. It's like, if I've ever been a footballer, it's like, you've got all this money and all this time, but you're not allowed to do anything with it. I'd rather not have the money or time.
Yeah.
It's like when you have having a baby in lockdown's great because I'm not missing out on anything at the minute.
No.
It's
no.
When my WhatsApp group start going like, oh, do you want to just pop to the pub on Sunday? And they give you like an hour's notice. And you're like, what am I going to do with this information?
I actually find that quite offensive. Like,
it's so rude.
just don't invite me. You know that I'm not going to be able to come to the pub with an hour's notice.
My mate texts me saying, oh, by the way, I've just got a last minute a rooftop bar, like this nice rooftop bar in London. The day pub's open, I've just had a cancellation. Do you want to come? It was like in 40 minutes. I'm like, That's awful what you've done to me. And also, he's got a 4-year-old kid and I had a 2-week-old. I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
I need a month anyway for the baby to be old enough for me to leave.
How are you feeling about June the 21st? Do you think you'll go out for June the 21st?
No. Absolutely not. Phone off. I'm gonna throw my internet router in the sea, I think. No Instagram. I'm going to pretend it's not happening.
Yeah, because what I found was, because when your babies are young, you actually, if you go to work, that's seen as a treat. I remember, you know, so it's like, well, you went out yesterday. I was like, yeah, to work. Went, yeah, but I've not been out yet this week. I'm like, oh. So I just, baby or work. That's life now.
Yeah.
I know. And it is quite lucky that our work is bored. Like, this is work now.
Yes, true. And to be fair, I have noticed that you've started streaming and playing computer games as work, which I do that as well. I've tried to do that on YouTube a little bit, and it is a good way just to get to play computer games, isn't it? But I'll be honest with you, I do not earn enough to warrant... I don't earn it. I'll say enough. I earn £0 streaming on YouTube, so it's hard to tell Lou.
But you need to use phrases like the long game, when you're talking to Lou about the long game. I'm breaking into a new fan base.
No one's earning money on YouTube yet. It's just going to take off soon. KSI's all not bollocks. He's earning nothing. Logan Paul, fuck off. No one's earning. I'm just putting the groundwork in.
Yeah, it's just paper talk, isn't it? That kind of, all those figures that are being thrown around. It's imaginary money.
How many views you getting, Rob? That's not, I don't think that's the point, Louise. Yeah, it was 80. Yes, you're right. I would have been better off just to shout in the street. You sure? But no, I'm doing my best.
How are you feeling about the Euros, Ian? Because Scotland in the Euros for the first time
since 1996.
Yeah, and 98 World Cup was the last time we were in
98
anything.
World Cup was the last time we were in anything. The other day I looked up who was the last person to score for Scotland. It's amazing who it is, and I can't remember now. I'm so annoyed.
Do you feel like the fact you've got a baby means you're going to get to watch loads of the Euros? And it's not like I'm just asking this because that's exactly what's happening in my own head. Or do you think, oh, this is really going to cramp my style when it comes to Scotland games? What if the baby's not going down and it's England v Scotland at 8 p.m. on a Friday night?
Yeah, what's your plan?
Right. This is, at the minute, and this is genuinely true, this is a podcast and exclusive.
Scotland are going to have three games there.
Scotland have got three games, guaranteed, right?
Yeah, guaranteed maximum of three games, yeah.
Was it Craig Burley?
Craig Burley!
Yeah. Against Norway in a 1-0 draw.
It was 1-0 draw. It was. We nearly didn't lose to Brazil. Do you remember that?
I remember when you nearly didn't lose to Brazil. Yeah.
Oh, what a day. Tommy Boyd scored an own goal.
Yeah, he did.
And then John Collins used to wink down the camera at his babies, his kids at home.
Oh,
it was such a lovely touch. And I thought it was pathetic. And now I think, oh, I'd love to be able to do that.
So what's your strategy about this?
Love Island, contract negotiations. You hear about them all the time. I wonder what demands people make.
Yep.
Genuinely true. I said that I need to leave early on June the 18th. That was the only thing I told my agent to negotiate with Love Island this year. That is, hand on my heart, the honest truth. Because that's Scotland, England.
Oh, yeah, you've got to see that.
So that one's in the bag. That has always been, between me and Laura, like, that'll be my first proper, I'm out the house.
You are properly out watching it somewhere.
But you might be out watching it with some German tourists in Spain.
Who knows where, I'm hoping by about 10 p.m. I won't care.
So you don't really care where you are if you have to be in Spain for it, but you have got a pass that day to watch that game. Okay.
And that's then good to get Gordon Smart, the radio DJ, great man.
Yes.
He's all over it. He'll organise something, I hope, where there's just going to be just every single Scottish celebrity you can imagine in a room together.
Oh, wow.
I want Lorraine Kelly on Martin Compton's shoulders.
Lorraine Kelly.
Ian Sterling, Rod Kevin Stewart. Bridges, Nicola Sturgeon.
Nicola Sturgeon will be there.
I think you've done well there, because there's no point doing some of it half-hearted. You know you've got one day that you go mental for and that's it.
Yeah, that's my big day. I'm so excited about that. I think, yeah, we'll try and make something work.
Because obviously you're from Scotland and Laura's from Ireland.
You've done your research,
well,
Rob.
Well, you know, I'd like to, you know, leave no stone unturned. You're away from sort of like parents and help. So have you got a support network? Have you had family come down and stuff, or is it?
We've had people come down again. It's sort of like my parents came down, but again, because of COVID, this is for me so lovely because obviously they weren't allowed in the house. My mum was looking for something to do and ended up getting like an old brush that we didn't even know we had and just brushed all the patio in our back garden because she just wanted to do like housework or anything she could do to help out.
That's so sweet.
Because she, do you know what I mean? She was just staring in at the dishwasher going, I can't believe I can't do that.
So then just, bless her. Oh, that's
if, the
so di- sweet.
If the Dyson had the long enough wire, she'd have ended up hoovering the lawn, I reckon.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I know you've got a pub in a shed at the end of your garden. Is she allowed in there? It's hard to know the rules. She's not even allowed in there, just in the garden bit.
We've got We've got loads of windows open. She can go in there. She might buff a few glasses for me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mop the
floor or whatever.
That sounded like you were leaving a dog in a car rather than letting your mum go into a building. We'll crack the window open. She'll be fine. She won't get hot in there.
And obviously, like I said, with Irish and Scottish combining, and now you've got this child that's been born in London. So what's the vibe? Settled on an English? Is it your child English? How you feel? The accent's going to be different.
I think she'll have a strong Irish heritage. I imagine. Like Laura's got much more family than me. Irish people have got loads of family.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a generalisation, but it's sort of true. And as a Scottish person, all your family are like, well, dead.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
A bit of a generalisation.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I've not got any family, mum and dad and my sister, but then that's it. So that you go to, I remember going to like a wedding, Laura's like, oh, you'll meet the family. I was like, oh, brilliant. There was about 90 of them. I was like, do you want to meet my family? Well, there's my sister, done.
Yeah.
Go home. Yeah, I think she'll have a lot of like Irish heritage in her. And I love Ireland myself. So we're trying to get out there as much as possible. We're trying to get her up. I just find it mad I've made someone that's going to have like this sort of like little posh English accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is odd.
Do yours speak posh?
Well, mine have started correcting my speech.
No, have they actually?
Because they'll say Walter, and they'll be like, no, Daddy, it's Walter.
Does it ever, like, have they got a bit older, but look like you, like, work for them?
It does feel a little bit like I'm, like, the little oik that the rich father's got to look after, ferry these little kids around.
Why is there a mechanic bringing them to school?
I know. But that's the thing. It'd be so funny when they're like bye-bye to all their friends. See you next week. And then you turn up with your accent going, come here, like, that's your dad. Do you know what I mean? I can't imagine my kids having a Scottish accent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. So it
feels like they're someone else's kids.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I'll feel about it. Do you know what, again?
But do you think that for the main voices she'll hear for the first couple of years will be you and Laura, right?
Yeah. Oh, my
so
God.
So she'll have quite a nice kind of Celtic twang, but then she'll totally lose it.
But yeah, it's one of those things where before you have a kid, it's so cliche, but it's genuinely true. Before you have a kid, you're like, oh, I want a wee Scottish baby who's going to wear tartan every day and get the English and the nuts and that. And then, yeah, and I'm like, she just do whatever she likes. I do find that, you ever find that mad thing where someone's from like Yorkshire or something and they just say, oh, yeah, I went to school and I just started speaking posh. And they've got this like mad posh accent. You're like, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
Well, do you know, I know this is very, Andy Leach, who works for Off the Curb.
It's very niche. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Scottish.
So this is a person, yeah, but he grew up in Leicester.
He doesn't sound like that at all.
Did he?
He's got a Scottish accent from his family, but he grew up in Leicester.
I thought he grew up in Scotland. I've known Andy for years.
He grew up in Leicester.
Leicester? Yeah. He sounds he's so Scottish.
Yeah.
I mean, this means absolutely nothing to anyone else.
I know. I thought, I was worried. I was genuinely at the start of this podcast and I hope Rob doesn't ask too much about Twitch because I just don't think enough people will know what it is. And then we talked about Andy Leach for 7 minutes.
He's a lovely guy, but I wouldn't say he's...
He's a lovely bloke.
Famous enough. I think everyone will remember when he was the live booker for the Leicester Comedy Festival in 2012, actually.
If you wanted to get into the cookie,
he brought some big names to the cookie, formerly known as the crumbling cookie, but I'm probably teaching all the listeners how to suck eggs at this point.
To something, you know, I feel like we've gone over this before on other episodes.
I think we did this on the Robbie Williams episode. We covered this.
I've got a parenting question, Ian. Has your baby still got the umbilical cord thing? Has it fallen off yet?
It fell off.
It fell off.
A weekend early doors.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, but we got it for it. We got the original. Well, we kept that little bit for a book, but we got the actual umbilical cord framed.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? So what? I'm not going to lie to you, Ian. Where'd
you hang that?
Blunt, but where the fuck are you putting
kitchen?
That, mate?
In her room, which now in that I think room. About it, I know.
Oh, absolute nightmare territory that is.
There's a bit of you that fell off anyway. Good night.
And do you know what's next to it?
What?
The scissors that I used to cut the umbilical cord.
Did you take your own scissors or did you steal them from the hospital?
The guy gave, the doctor gave me the scissors and then let me keep the scissors, sort of like how, do you know, you get a lolly once you've come at the doctor's.
Yep.
Yeah.
The guy sort of looked at me and thought, just, you can have these scissors if you want.
No wonder the NHS is underfunded. They keep giving out scissors willy-nilly.
In my head, you've got a big pair of scissors like you're opening a supermarket. That kind of...
They were cardboard. It took fucking ages. And the glitter got everywhere. I streamed it on YouTube. There was only 70 people watching. I was gutted.
So how do you preserve it then? Because obviously it is flesh, isn't it? Essentially,
yeah. Well, I didn't do it myself. We gave it to someone. We gave it to an umbilical cord. Basically, we gave the placenta to someone, and they turned the placenta into gummy bears.
Have you eaten it?
I've ate it. Yeah.
That was it. Nice? Great.
Yeah. Well, it's gummy bears, isn't it?
So is it supposed to be good for you then, to eat placenta?
Yeah, I think so. So they take the good bits from the placenta and put it into these gummy bears.
What they've done there is they've taken the placenta, put it in the bin and given you a pack of gummy bears.
And charged me £100 for a pair of gummy bears.
And charged you £100 for the gummy bears.
And then they felt so badly going, well, we bunged the umbilical cord in a frame.
That's a better way of doing that, because some people keep it like in the freezer. But if you are going to eat it, I think the gummy bear is how I'd want to take it. What shape's it in? Because I've Googled it and some people do them in like hearts or like love with it. But it just sort of, it looks a bit like beef jerky.
It looks like a set of headphones. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's in a little frame and it looks like headphones, but it has dried up loads now.
Yeah. So what happened to the little bit that fell off? Because we had a nightmare where we lost it.
I think it was loose and it came off when we were retrieving her from our those slings, the front facing slings.
Oh yeah,
but it was just caught in Laura's clothes.
Yeah.
So we managed to get it, and it still had the little yellow. The little did yours get clipped shut with, like, do you know those little clips you used to, like, seal pasta?
Yeah, like a freezer clip.
Like you couldn't do a whole bag of kettle chips. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
just slipped. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like you could open, like, if you undid it and you turned it on her side, loads of rice would come out.
But yeah, that's where that freaked me out, that little thing. I was desperate for that to come off.
Yeah, but apparently it happened quite fast for us.
Yeah, that is quite, normally it stays on for ages. So I felt like it was haunting me.
Yeah, no, we were glad, and then she had an in. I thought she'd have an out. I thought that's how you got an outie, just by it getting pulled out too fast.
Oh, there was loads of myths about how you got an outie, wasn't there? Like the way you were, where it was cut initially, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. How did you get an outie?
I just think it is what it is, right? I don't know. I don't think it's
bodies are just a body. Yeah.
Do you know who's got an out? Do you know who's got an outie?
Who's got an outie?
Andy Leach. Famously.
I mean,
well, that's the great thing, but when you talk about someone no one's heard of, yeah, go on, then he has. What are you gonna do? You can't even Google it.
He'll probably get someone to ask him, going, have you got an outie? Have you got an outie or not?
I would love that. I would love that if just a few people off the curb just started asking him and he didn't know why. Yeah. He'll listen to this, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he does. He's...
Well, there's one way of testing whether he'll listen to this.
There you go.
There?
Yeah. Leave this then.
That is a good
Leave
way to
all
find
of
out.
This then.
Agents and managers.
I think we lose the earlier bit, and the first reference is you saying that Andy Leach has got an outie.
That's it, out of nowhere.
And he'll go, what the fuck is going on here?
So about how was the birth, and how did you feel? Because I felt such a spare part at the birth, because just Lou was amazing and just did everything, obviously. You just sort of stand there not knowing what to do. How did you find it?
All I remember really is Laura was, like, amazing. And then all my job was, I was to get Laura Lucozade. That was the one thing, to get her through. And then she went to me, I need my Lucozade now. But I'd got her actual Lucozade, which is too sugary. And I'm meant to get a sort of isotonic Lucozade.
Oh, okay. So not the actual, like, medicine orangey one, like the yellowy orange.
That is the most working class thing you've said so far today, is the medical
Lucozade. You know the one that you get when you're ill? That one, not that one, the sports one.
The one that you used to get when you had the flu in the 90s.
You get a colouring book and then the orange Lucozade, and you drink that and you'd feel like Iron Man.
And if it got really bad, wine gums. So I needed isotonic, because apparently that's got all this stuff for getting fluid back in the system.
Yeah, that's the one.
We're at about 4 centimetres dilated. I've got There we are. The dad's royal wee. You know,
to be fair, I was so scared. I think my arsehole had dilated by about 1 centimetre at the start.
Well, I said to Laura, are you sure you want me walking about? Because we are 4 centimetres dilated. It's quite dangerous for me to go anywhere. So I went down, and it was, I remember there was a lift to get to the front of the hospital. So we get the lift down, and then I go and pick up my isotonic drink from a little Tesco Metro or something. Then I get a text from Laura saying, I am now 9 centimetres dilated.
Whoa, you were holding her back.
I know. I was literally getting in the way. Well, do you know when you're more relaxed? So when there wasn't a nervous man with a pair of scissors, she really eased into it.
Yeah.
So I run back. And all I remember is I got into the lift and it was the 7th floor, and then 3 doctors get in the lift and they all start having a conversation about what floor they want to go onto, and I just went, none of you press a fucking button on that thing, because I'm going up to 7. My wife's 9 centimetres dilated here. And then an actual doctor turned around to me and went, oh, well, I'm only 1 floor up. I went, well, you're going to be 6 floors up, because there's no way. And then I got there sweating, and then we waited for about another hour. But it's fine.
Were you sweating, tired, drunk the Lucozade, back in the game, ready to go?
I had the actual one.
Yeah.
The proper Lucozade. But nothing makes you feel more useless than someone having a baby in front of you.
Yeah.
Especially because the midwives are so amazing as well.
Yeah.
I remember I got the playlist wrong, didn't I? I played the same playlist twice, and then Laura was going, I've heard this song before, and I'm trying to, like, find another playlist, and she thought it was an absolute nightmare.
So you got the wrong Lucozade, the wrong playlist.
I'm an idiot. The thing is, you've got to remember about me is I'm an idiot. You've got to remember that.
Do you know what, Ian? Your daughter's heading for an outie. There's no way you've cut that correctly.
I know, I feel honestly terrible about it, but there will be at least one time in our lives where Laura goes, where's the baby? And it'll just be me going, oh, shit! And I'll just run out the house. Like, I sort of know that's going to happen, and it's like a bit gutting, really, because I don't want to be that person, but I am.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that consoled me when I was in the delivery room and I was doing nothing, all I was thinking was, about 50 years ago, I would have been in the pub. So I'm doing well to be here. We're all changing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. My dad, when his first kid was born, he was in the pub. How many was that?
Imagine
the
well.
Thought. Yeah. Imagine
well, the
thought.
Mates, well done, mate. Congratulations.
Cheers. Yeah, she's all right. Imagine not being there. Imagine going to a pub. I mean, you know, I think I'd be more stressed at the pub.
No, I don't, no.
Fair enough.
Ian, one more question.
Yeah.
Well, this is it's called Crosby's Law. If there's one thing, it's difficult because you've only been into it a month, but if there's one thing that your partner does parenting-wise that annoys you a little bit, but you can't really say, but you think it's a fair point, because if you do bring it up, it will be an argument that you probably will lose. Is there something that frustrates you about the way your partner parents? It's difficult at this stage, I imagine.
I don't know if it's about necessarily parenting, but the other day, right, We've got a nursery for the child.
Yeah.
We keep the baby stuff in.
Yeah.
Laura purchased a toy hammock, a hammock for toys.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
While she was away...
I'm glad you explained that, because it was a very different thing in my head before you said it.
Yeah, I know, like a sex swing for a Furby or something. And it was when I was looking after it's my first time, 3 hours on my own with a baby, right? Now, I'm going to hang this hammock for you. So I put my fingers on the wall and I said, do you want it about here? She said, yes. I hung the hammock. She came back and said, that's too low. And I said, that's exactly what you told me. That's what you said. And that's where I put the screws. And she said, no, I didn't think you were going to mark where you were putting the screws. I thought you were marking where the bottom of the hammock was going to be.
No, come on.
And that is, it was one of those days where we hadn't had much sleep. That is the nearest we've come to a proper argument. And we just had 20 minutes on. Well, obviously I meant that's where the screws go. And she went, well, that's where I meant the bottom of the hammock went.
Yeah.
But also, even a hammock, you can't predict the hammock.
You can't predict. You cannot predict the hang of a hammock. It's just potluck.
Maybe that was more me asking you. If you put your hand on a wall,
where were you stood? Were you touching the wall, Ian?
I was touching the wall with one finger in a sort of screw-like fashion.
Yeah, well, I think that's...
I'd argue, though, but then... Yeah, it would be hard to know where the hammock would hang, though, wouldn't it, from there? I think
exactly.
It's a tricky one, Ian. Question is...
Rob, are we going to fall out?
I think I'm on Laura's side. I don't want to be that guy. But I think it's... Because if you say... You would never know how the hammock would hang if you pick where the screw goes. But
that's
if you know
point.
Where the bottom of the hammock is going to go, then it doesn't matter where the screw goes because you know where the hammock needs to end up.
Do you know what?
I'm sorry.
I genuinely think I've got to end this podcast, go downstairs and apologise to my wife.
I'm sorry, I really wanted to be on your side, Ian. We go
and
way
also,
back.
It was about a week ago, and she'll be like, what are you talking about that the hammock thing? Have you heard of Andy Leach?
Ian, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure. Brilliant.
We'll have to get you back on when you're a bit further in, and you're welcome back anytime.
I'd love to come back on at some point. Yeah. And also, maybe it would be nice to come back on when I've like done stand-up and like talked to like another... I've really struggled to talk to you two today, I'm not going to lie.
You've been brilliant. I've enjoyed it, Ian. It's been great.
Funniest you've ever been, mate.
Thank you very much. I wish I was more awake to have a comeback to that.
You need to be doing this on 4 hours sleep, Ian. This is when you're at your best.
It's great, Ian. Thank you very much, mate. Appreciate
cheers,
it.
Lads.
Cheers,
thank
mate.
You very
thank
much.
You.
Cheers,
well
Ian.
Done to all the parents listening to this. You're all doing a great job.
Oh, that's a nice message, Ian. Look at you. You're on fire today.
We'll edit that bit out.
Ian Sterling. Good man, Ian, isn't he? I love Ian.
Really funny.
Really good fun.
Really funny. You kind of forget how funny Ian Sterling is because you just remember that he's the guy who does the kind of wry voiceover to Love Island. Do you know what
I mean? Yeah, because
it's a proper comic.
Also, yeah, no, it's a great comic. And also, as well, he's just like him day to day, like, something's always just happened or about to happen. It's a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, before we started recording, he was talking about Twitch, but he's got great energy. And I think he'll be such a great dad. Like, I know he is already a dad, but, like, as the kid gets older and stuff, because he's so positive and so energetic and keen, which I think is always a great thing for a dad, isn't it? To sort of be interested in that.
Totally.
But, yeah, that's interesting now, because when I do notice when a child's breastfed, the dad doesn't, you know, there's hard for them to get involved and do stuff. And I think there's a real difference in the early stages between a breastfed baby and a bottle fed baby for the dad, because they can't get involved. Do you know what I mean? So it's interesting to hear him, and it'll be good and interesting when he comes back on.
Oh, Rob. Oh, it just all makes it feel so like it's about to happen again. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You'll be fine, Josh. You'll be fine. Anyway.
Oh,
right,
my God.
We'll be back on...
I've got to go to nursery,
you're going
to
pick your daughter up from nursery. All right. I'm probably just going to kick back with a beer and watch a telly because mine two are playing on a trampoline together and I don't have to look after babies anymore.
Unbelievable. Wow. Christmas Eve was worth it after all.
It was worth it. Right, see you on Tuesday.
Cheers, bye.